It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I've seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing. I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty. My cupboard's bare. But call me illogical. I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey,
hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, hey, hey. It's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. Taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500 as well. Starting out the morning, talking about the drought and things that we can do to make a difference in our yards to save water and make sure that our yards look great. And we wanted to start at the top of this hour talking about our lawns and things that we can do to make a difference. And Ton, there are some things, you know, people have sprinkler systems that now are smart systems, and there are things that we can do to save water.
There really are. There's all sorts of places you can start also, but I think that for the average homeowner that has an installed sprinkling system, the places to start include checking the system to make sure everything's functioning. If you live in an area where you can have a water check performed by Slow the Flow, Salt Lake County and other places offer that. Utah County, for the most part, does not have that done. And then, especially if you have lawn in areas that isn't really super visible, you know, maybe back off on the water quite a bit and accept a few brown patches, and the lawn will make it through just fine being watered, as long as even if it goes dormant on 1 inch of water a month. That's about how much you need to keep your lawn alive but dormant for the next year.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is people don't know when to start watering, how much to water, how much more they need when it gets really hot. For people who don't maybe have some of these newer sprinkling systems, how do they go about that?
I observe my lawn. You know, I'm a hose dragger, and so I will walk on the lawn and I'll watch. I know certain areas on the south side of my house start to brown out first, so I'll keep an eye on them. And then when I walk on my lawn grass, if it doesn't spring back and, you know, 3 or 4 minutes later, I can see the footprints in the green grass, that's another sign that the lawn can use some irrigation. You know, within a few days, it'll start to go dormant and brown out if you see the footprints that don't rebound.
What is the biggest mistake that we make when watering our lawns?
Assuming the sprinkler clock is doing its job and assuming the sprinklers are working and functioning and not observing them at least weekly to make sure everything's fine. You know, I've seen a lot of sprinkler clocks this year. Unfortunately, it hasn't been as many that are running on their July schedule, watering 3 times a week for 20 to 30 minutes, and they're wasting tons of water. But just using that sprinkler clock as a set it and forget it device wastes so much water.
Yeah, I like the new systems out there. I really do. I mean, they'll put your system on a delay if it's going to rain. I mean, they really, in my mind, have made a difference at my home, and were
really
worth the extra money.
Yes, and Orbit has one. Then Orbit's a local company. Rachio is another one that many people use, and these are a lot easier to use than they were several years ago. And there's an app on your phone that, you know, if things are browning out too much, you can just manually adjust right from an app, and it'll increase or decrease what you need, so you can totally customize how your lawn is irrigated right from your phone.
Yeah, and sometimes it's smarter than we are. It's noticing the weather changes, our app anyway. And, you know, this week there was a day where it was going to rain and we didn't have any idea it was going to rain. You know, we do the news and we do the weather and we didn't even realize. And yeah, it was right. It did rain that day.
Yeah. And so those are really good to have. I've even, for people that drag hoses to water and are just using the hose in sprinklers, I would strongly recommend getting hose in timers that you can put right on the faucet. Oh. Because for me, when I'm dragging my hose around, it is so common for me to get distracted by the kids or a project. And so I have timers. I have three hose bibs in my yard. Every one of them has timers. And I set them for the amount of time I want to water, and then I'll set a timer on my phone and just walk back out, reset all the timers, and that way if I get distracted, I haven't watered the lawn all night.
Boy, I can't even imagine doing what you're doing. I mean, just the extra time that it takes to keep track of those things.
Well, I've got it down to where I can water my entire lawn in about 4 hours, and I'll do that right now maybe every week to 10 days. A lot of my grass is fescue, so it's a little, requires irrigation less often. And during the summer, it gets a little hectic, but I like to play with my lawn and just toy with it, watch it. That's one of the ways I really learn about things for the show and for my job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that over the next couple of years, I will install a system, but it's been really interesting being to customize how I water, you know, just using those hose in sprinklers.
Right. Any other best practices, tips you'd like to give folks on their lawns?
Unless you live in a windy area, water in the late evening or early morning. There's a lot of municipalities only allowing watering between the hours of 6 and 10, you know, 6 p.m. to 10 a.m. And so everybody tries to water at 3 in the morning. And so you might try to get in at 9 o'clock or start at 6 or 7 and see what your water pressure is like to balance out when everybody's trying to use that water. But if you water at that period of time, then you're going to get a lot more water into the soil than what you would watering during the day.
Right. We started the hour talking about lawn care tips in a drought, but at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, if you missed it, we did talk about drought-hardy perennials, and you can find Ton's complete list right now on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We're going to take a break. Come back with your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton taking your questions this morning. Our next texter wants to know, they're talking about lawns, Ton. They want to know if they're going to put in a lawn this summer, and what is your opinion? They're like, not this summer, right?
Well, they can, and a lot of times cities will make exceptions for new lawns on how often you can irrigate, but you would need to talk to your public works to find out if those exist and what you need to do. But the best time to put in that lawn would have been late April or in late August, mm-hmm. mid to late August.
So they may want to wait, especially if they face any water restrictions.
Correct. One thing they might be able to do is to incorporate or till in some compost into their soil and maybe water every couple of weeks to keep the soil a little bit moist so the compost breaks down so that the lawn is ready to go in late August when they seed or sod then.
All right. Let's go to Lila in Morgan. Good morning, Lila. How can we help you?
Good morning. Thank you. I have a beautiful sun-patient hanging basket. It got frosted. There were three colors in there, and it killed the purple and part of the white. The pink survived. Is there any hope
for the rest?
Will it come back?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, how did any of the foliage on the other two varieties survive?
Yes.
If the foliage survived on the other varieties, then yes, it should recover.
Okay.
So snip back the dead, right? Or what?
Yeah, just cut back the dead parts and let it regrow.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. Felt so bad. Beautiful.
Yeah. Thanks, Lila, for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know if you have an alternative for bark mulch. So we were talking about, you know, putting down the mulch to prevent or to help you save water in your flower beds. And she's saying her husband hates the blowing bark. And is there something that's maybe a little bit heavier or something else you would suggest?
You can get larger bark. So you can get what's called chunk bark and get small or large chunk bark. Mm-hmm. That would be an option.
And that won't blow around?
No, because it's just bigger. It can, if you have a slope, it might drift down the slope with that. But the chunk barks are an option. They might be able to use, and I'm not as big a fan of this, but the rubber mulches, there are recycled rubber mulches that are heavier, that look somewhat like a bark mulch. Then they could also maybe look at rock mulch. I'm not a huge fan of rock mulch because it's hard to remove. Wind blows in on top of it, and you'll eventually get weeds and things. But it may be an option also.
All right. Let's go to our next caller. That is Katie in Salt Lake. Good morning, Katie.
Hi. I have about seven, I think they're autolupin. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Laurels in my front yard. I'm north-facing. And last fall and then this spring, three of them that are right up in the center front part of my yard have just really died back kind of exponentially. I started having a problem a couple of years ago and put that kind of light film plastic covering over in the winter. That didn't seem to help, but I'm wondering what it is that's killing them. Not sure. I posted photos on your Facebook page if that helps.
I'm looking at the inbox right now. What I can tell you is that we have seen lots of dead from the drought, especially over the last year. And the problem with that is that because they're evergreen and there's water in the soil, you know, they have to have water in the soil to actually live through the winter because they slowly lose water through those leaves remaining on the plant.
Right.
And so if you have those and they dry out in the winter or the ground becomes completely frozen, it's really common for broadleaf evergreens to have those dry leaves that show up in late winter and spring. And a lot of times those plants can be killed over a number of years with dry winter soil. Now, the laurels are also susceptible. They're related to cherries, believe it or not, but they also will have problems with Phytophthora and verticillium sometimes. And so you could also be seeing some root disease in there in which there's going to be nothing you can do about it.
Okay. I replaced one of them and the replacement has died back as well. So would you suspect that it is that root disease?
Maybe. I wish I could be more specific, but would you have any like information on irrigation? Do you know how wet they stay?
So they're in the shade most of the time. We did put in a sprinkler system last year, and they get watered, I think, probably twice, two or three times a week. We haven't turned our sprinklers on yet this year.
Does the damage, when the damage started to show up, coincide with when you installed the sprinklers?
I wouldn't say so. And I would think it would affect all of them, not just those front ones.
You know, it could be if water's pooling where the ones are dying, that could be getting them. That could be something to check, but of what kills those laurels or damages them, it's usually winter damage from the soil drying out or being frozen or root disease.
Okay. And is there any way to test for the root disease?
Not really. You would have to dig the plants out to get to the roots to look at them. And so it may be something that, unfortunately, you need to remove them and try a different plant in that location. But be sure, I would really check that irrigation to make sure they're not staying excessively wet.
Right.
And then if they're not, then you could maybe swap over, if you don't have deer problems, to euonymus or photinia or like English yews or something that are also shade tolerant.
Okay. And will it spread to the other ones then that don't currently have that root issue, if that's what it is? Will
the potential is there not? That it could, depending on how healthy those plants are.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Our next texter is asking, they say they have beautiful quaking aspen that gets shiny, sticky leaves, and they're wondering if that's aphids and what should they do to treat this?
It very well could be aphids. If they can pinch the leaf and it almost feels like a sticker or something that, mm-hmm. you know, like that you put on a page, not a, that sticks in your skin, okay. then it's most likely aphids causing that damage. I would see if you can look up aphid control and find out what baby lacewings and baby ladybugs look like, because if you're finding those on the trees, then Mother Nature is going to take care of the problem. If you're not seeing them, then they could turn to something like a horticultural soap or horticultural oil.
All right. Next texter says, what can be used to fertilize young trees to keep them healthy and grow fast?
If they're brand new, nothing. You want the roots to reach out the first year. But after that, there's multiple products out there. Osmocoat, lawn fertilizer, as long as it doesn't have the weed killer in it, would be fine. There's all sorts of things. And it's if you're having problems with the trees not growing enough, then you can try, you know, a quarter to a third of a cup of just lawn fertilizer under the tree and see if that helps. And you'd want to do that in the spring.
All right. Let's go to Rick, who is in Alpine. Good morning, Rick. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question.
What is
can
your question?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I bought 5 maple trees from a nursery back east and planted them last spring. And they seemed to do okay. They were maybe 6 or 7 feet tall. This year in the spring, the leaves on the trees have only come up from between 3.5 feet to 6 inches. The rest of the tree seems to be dead. And I'm just wondering what I should do to try to save these trees.
Do you recall what kind of maple you purchased?
No, I don't. They're supposed to be hardy because I've got them in strips close to the road. But they're supposed to be hardy maples. And the color of the tree, where the leaves blossom out is green, but then above the top leaf, and I'm nervous to break the tree off, but it just seems like it's dead above the where the last leaves have come out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we're seeing, actually, we've had quite a few calls today on people that planted trees and the canopy's dead, but there's new leaves coming up from the base. Can you tell if the new growth or where they are leafing out is coming from above a graft union?
All of it is coming above the graft union.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a good sign, because the roots are still alive. And so if the canopies don't leaf out within the next week or two, I would go ahead and cut them back and then let the new growth grow. And you're going to have a bow in the trunk, but that's okay. You know, we don't like to look at it sometimes, but the tree's fine, and encourage that new growth and train a new canopy.
So just cut off the dead part if it doesn't.
Yep. Just get a pair of loppers or a sawzall or something. Yeah.
And cut them. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Rick, thanks so much for your call this morning. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Number to call 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. now available anywhere you get your podcasts.